Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The NFL season is here. It's the opening Thursday night. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan, taking you up to 6:10 and Nats baseball this evening right here on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. How good was Mackenzie Gore last night?
Filth.
Perfect through 5, took his perfecto into the 6th. Things got off the rails a little bit with back-to-back runners getting aboard, walking an extra base hit, run scored. Ended up actually going off of a glove, but it was hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 innings of one-hit ball for him, 3 straight really good starts in a row. Seems like he fixed the mechanical issue that was leading to what was a brutal second half.
Increased use of the changeup, too. I think that's important, right? Again, that is a weapon. I've seen it really good. I know at times he hasn't believed in it, hasn't trusted it, hasn't felt comfortable with it, but he's been using it, and it's an extra weapon against righties. Good to see.
More on the Nats later in the show. Our baseball coverage on the Fans presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get a ton of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I want to get into our NFL predictions. We're busy today. We got a lot going on. 3:45. Remember, we're making our show announcement. Something you'll want to know about this program and the football season. So make sure you're listening at 3:45. But let's run through division winners first and foremost. We'll start right here close to home in the NFC East. Who wins the division?
The Eagles win this division this year. Dallas, slight step back, not a total collapse, but they won't be quite as good. Philadelphia rebounds from the complete collapse last year. They have the best roster, maybe second best roster. In the NFC, they will be plenty good enough to win the NFC East. They get to 12-5, division winner.
Yeah, so I think both the Eagles and the Cowboys have a chance to be worse than they were last year. The difference being that the Eagles were so bad down the stretch that they finished with about the record they would this year, even if they're worse than last season, if that makes sense. I think Philly does win the division. Nobody, and I mean nobody, did less to improve its roster than Dallas as a front office and organization. Because they were cash-strapped and had to prepare for paying CeeDee Lamb, which they've done, and the inevitability of paying Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons on each side of the ball also. Because of that, I think the Cowboys, who have a bad running back situation, regress. The Eagles probably hang about where they were, and they win the division. I'll say they are an 11-win division champion. Dallas ends up winning 9 or 10 games and has a chance to make the playoffs as a wild card. Let's go to the NFC North next.
Detroit Lions. On paper, they're really good. They were a play or two away from representing the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. They don't play a game outdoors until November. They only play 3 all year long. They are going to have home field advantage in the postseason. They win the NFC North.
I have a really hard time finding any way that the Lions don't win that division. They returned everybody. And they added talent, both in the draft where they took Terrion Arnold to play corner in the first round. They took Ennis Rakestraw to play in the nickel in the second round. They are even adding to their offense still with some of the rookies that they brought in. They've got a 4th-round running back, a 4th-round left tackle who's now going to be their swing option. And they've got a college free agent who made the roster at wide receiver behind Amon-Ra St. Brown and Khalif Raymond and Jamison Williams. Speaking of Williams, I think it's a breakout year for him. He's healthy. He's motivated. He needs to start showing out, or he's not going to get a second contract.
He'll get looks, man. In that offense, like as good as St. Brown is, and
totally.
You're talking about 90 catches or so for Laporta, you'll be one-on-one a lot.
Ben Johnson, who did not leave, stayed put, which is unheard of, 2 straight years as the most sought-after coordinator. So they've got a lot of continuity and play calling and scheme between he and Jared Goff. mean, it doesn't happen like that, that veteran quarterbacks putting up big numbers with hotshot OCs just keep working together. Normally, the guy leaves you, and for whatever reason, Ben Johnson has not done that yet. They're also able to run the ball with Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, who's going to have a big year, and Craig Reynolds. I mean, they're just deep everywhere. I like the coaching staff a lot, too, led by Dan Campbell, who I've come around on big time, and they've got as good a front office as there is right now at picking players with Brad Holmes, even though the loss of Lance Newmark, I do think, is significant now that he's here in D.C. But I got them at 13 wins. I think they're the number one seed, probably.
That's what I got.
The NFC, and they win the NFC North. Let's go to the NFC South. Seems like a two-division race with the Bucs and the Falcons. If the Saints are a fly in the ointment, maybe you could convince me that a third team has a shot, but the Panthers will pull up the rear.
I've got the Atlanta Falcons winning this division, and it's not sexy. I think it's a 9-8 team wins it, 2-8-9 teams in New Orleans and Tampa. It's not as if Tampa's bad. They're fine. They are aggressively fine. Nothing wrong with them on either side of the ball, but nothing that right either. I don't think anybody's really going to have a stranglehold on this division. We'll be in it with 2 or 3 weeks left to play and still not know. I don't think Atlanta's good enough to really do much other than win this very mediocre division, but I got them edging out those other teams.
If the Falcons' defense is good, they're going to run away with the division. I just don't see that. They were not a good pass-rushing team last year, and while they traded for Matthew Judon during training camp, I don't think they did enough to be really good on that side of the ball. They also lost a coordinator that I thought did an excellent job last season on defense. I got the Bucs winning this division. I think you're right. Atlanta goes 9-8. I just think Tampa Bay's 10-7. And they're not overly good. I think Washington could beat them in Tampa this weekend. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But Baker Mayfield has a coach now that believes in him, in Todd Bowles. They paid him. They're carrying that over year over year. I think that losing his coordinator last year, Dave Canales, who's now the head coach in Carolina, stings some, but Liam Cohen, the OC, has worked with Baker Mayfield. Getting that money, having a team kind of put its weight behind you, is going to benefit him. They also have plenty of weapons. Mike Evans is a little older. Chris Godwin, veteran, very, very good. But they drafted Jalen McMillan in the third round. Trey Palmer gives them some decent depth. Pretty good tight end position, led by Cade Otton as well. So I just think there's enough there to get to 10 wins. Pretty good defensively. There's a lot made of, like, sometimes you lose a guy like Devin White, as an example, from that defense. He got benched by the end of last year anyway, Danny. He wasn't even starting for them. So I don't know if that's as big a loss as people think. I'll say Tampa wins the South, which leads us to the West.
I could certainly see a lot of things happening in that NFC South. I don't think it's particularly great. NFC West, this is boring, but the 49ers, they are the class of that division. Look out for Seattle. I think they're going to make some noise. They were fine last year, and I think have quietly on paper gotten a little bit better. The Rams are the wild card to me. I have no idea what to predict from them. When Stafford plays and is healthy, you think Cooper Kupp has a healthy season. That's a formidable offense. I don't know how good they'll be on the defensive side, but we forget how good the Rams finished last year. Just something to note. But San Francisco, it's one of the most complete rosters in football. Up and down, Trent Williams is back in the fold. You've got Ayuk. Weapons for days on offense. It's really about health to McCaffrey, health for Kittle, health for Debo Samuel, who a lot of times, because they take on such contact, they're so physical, may have to miss a time, a game or two here or there. If they've got their core group going, they are really, really, really hard to beat. I got them winning that division, even though it's going to be decent with 12 wins.
Death taxes Kyle Shanahan in the NFC title game if he's got his starting quarterback. That's basically what it's been for San Francisco. I don't even think the health of the playmakers is all that important in terms of winning the division. If you're just talking about missing 2-4 games, something like that. McCaffrey, Ayuk, Samuel. I mean, there's so much that they can make up for a couple of weeks to a month without someone. The one guy they got to have is Purdy. Because I don't think Josh Dobbs, their backup, or Brandon Allen, their third stringer, the former Bengal, walks through that door and gets you to the postseason winning the division. But assuming health at quarterback, they're going to win that division going away. By the way, their defense is still really, really good.
Yep.
Up front, Bosa, Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave, Leonard Floyd. They got ballers at every level. Fred Warner in the second level at linebacker. Hufanga, the safety, who had an all-pro season last year, kind of leading the way in the back end with Tre'Davious Ward. I'm a San Francisco believer. I think they'll be right back in the Super Bowl mix. They'll win that division. Let's go to the AFC. And go division by division with our winners here. We'll start in the AFC East, where I've got the Buffalo Bills. I know it's an easy thing right now to suggest that they're going to fall off because Stephon Diggs is in Houston. Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville. They're counting on a young receiver in Keon Coleman and an off-injured veteran in Curtis Samuel. I believe in Josh Allen. Maybe he runs more. Maybe they run more with James Cook and Ty Johnson. Maybe it's Khalil Shakir who steps up. I don't know how they're going to get there. Maybe Mac Hollins catches 9 touchdowns, the former Falcon. Josh Allen is going to combine for 40-plus touchdowns. He's going to get them across the finish line as a playoff team. And even though they have tons of injuries every year on defense, they always seem to have enough. Ed Oliver, A.J. Epinesa, Greg Rousseau rushing the quarterback. You know, in the back end, they've kind of rebuilt everything. But Teron Johnson, still one of the better players in the nickel in the league. They had a big opening at safety. And apparently, DeMar Hamlin had an unbelievable camp in preseason. He's going to start for them for the first time. So that's really, really cool. Good story there. I've got the Bills in a loaded division as the most complete team with Sean McDermott. Coordinators Joe Brady, and they've got a brand new DC that they got to turn things over to as well.
Fantasy flyer, late round, Khalil Shakir. You mentioned it. Nobody was better the second half of the season in separation scores, which is usually a great predictor to follow of yards and some totals. So that's a guy that's going to get some targets.
The only problem with that is you're the only guy I know that still has a draft. I mean, Danny drafts on the opening night of the season every year.
Oh, it's my least favorite thing.
I don't know how that's possible or why you're in that league.
It's
insane.
It's something I do with one of my best buddies, and this group insists on doing it. We had it set for Monday. Two people complained, and they moved it back. They do it on opening night every year, and they think it's fun. I think it's so stupid.
So they don't acknowledge or understand that it's a terrible bit?
No, they love it. They love
it. Wow,
how
is that possible?
I don't know. But this is the one I told you about this.
It's putting up your Christmas tree on Christmas night.
I guess. I told you before, I ship my buddy a pretty substantial amount of money. That's not even close to what the entry fee for this league is. He will not tell me what the actual price is. So we do it together. It's a great way to stay in touch. But these guys just live in a different sphere than you and I do. They're all not affected by the same forces. AFC East, New York Jets. They've been the best team on paper, non-quarterback division, for a couple of seasons. They've found a way to be 7-10 in a competitive division with some of the worst quarterback play you could possibly fathom. They won't have that now. They've still got top to bottom as good a roster as anybody in the sport, and they've got a Hall of Famer with something to prove, a literal Chip Douglas on his shoulder. The Jets win that division. Buffalo's gotten a little teeny tiny bit worse each of the last couple of seasons. Josh Allen's going to accumulate all those things. He's also going to turn it over 20-plus times combined. They're going to lose just enough games. It's Jets with 12 wins, Buffalo with 11, and Miami with 10. None after the weather starts to turn cold. So I got the Jets winning that division
by
a game.
I'll take the under on 20 turnovers for Josh Allen. Let's go to AFC North. Who's your winner?
The Baltimore Ravens. This is another one where everybody's predicting the demise. So, like, what you think about Buffalo is what I think about Baltimore.
I wouldn't say that. You work with me, so you hear it a lot. But they're, I think, top four in Super Bowl odds right now?
But people are saying, oh, they lost someone. They lost their defense coordinator. They lost. This is Baltimore. Last year, they were the best team in the NFL from wire to wire. We don't remember it that way because they didn't play very well and lost to Kansas City. They were outstanding last year. They beat everybody. They went to San Francisco on Christmas and beat the brakes off of them. They killed Miami by 40 points. They were the best team in the league. They're worse than they were before. Still good enough to win, in my opinion, the best division in sports.
They have the third best odds to win the Super Bowl right now behind the Chiefs and the 49ers. I'm going to go with the Bengals to win the AFC North. It's Joe Burrow time. He is back. He is healthy. And Ja'Marr Chase is going to play in week one. Speaking of being back, T. Higgins, like Ja'Marr Chase, is gunning for a contract. Danny, there are times where I'm trying to get paid and I'm a distraction. I think those guys go out and light it up to get paid. And it all works out, like what the team wants and what the players want.
In that moment aligns. It's like a zipper.
It's all in unison, yeah. Man. Why not? Let's all go out and make plays. I also don't think they got worse losing Joe Mixon. Zach Moss is a thumper, can be a decent running back.
I like Chase Brown.
I like Chase Brown out of the backfield catching passes as well. I think he could have a pretty good year. The offensive line's been rebuilt over the last couple of seasons. They did draft Amari Mims, who may not start right away, which tells you a little bit about their depth, their first-round pick. I don't think their tight end position's great. I wish they did something else there, but for whatever reason, Burrow has not used the tight end like a lot of quarterbacks do over the years, but they did bring in Mike Gesicki to go with Drew Sample. Defensively, they're very, very solid. Some depth added with Chris Jenkins Jr., the D-tackle, Cedric Johnson, who's going to play at defensive end, cornerback Josh Newton, added to a group that's mostly holdovers. Geno Stone, who had 7 interceptions, I believe, for the Baltimore Ravens. This past season is now in Cincinnati with the Bengals, so I just kind of like what they've got for Their offensive coordinator now, new Dan Pitcher, defensive coordinator, really good annually, never gets coaching job interviews, and Lou Anarumo. Zach Taylor, staple in the playoffs when he's got Joe Burrow. I like the Bengals. I think they win 11, 12 games, and that's enough with a tiebreaker or something to overtake the Baltimore Ravens. How about we go AFC South?
Give me the Indianapolis Colts. They were in a one-score game last year with Gardner Minshew and several injuries against the Houston Texans in a winner-take-all environment. Everyone's forgotten about them. This is a good club. They don't do repeat division winners in that AFC South. It's like kind of our version here in the NFC East. It was Jacksonville was the darling. They went from terrible to good. They underachieved the following year despite all the expectations. Houston will repeat that. They'll be fine, but not the juggernaut that everybody... Right now on the FS1 shows, on the Talking Head shows, on the Shout At You shows, the Hot Takeries, it's... Is this the next challenger for the Chiefs? Are these the second best team in the NFL next to the Chiefs? Who could beat Mahomes? Is it Stroud? No, they're not there yet. That's okay. They're going to be there. They're going to be good for a long time. They got to go through a couple things. They'll be 9-8. The Indianapolis Colts will be 10-7. They will win that division.
9-8. Wow. I love Steve Palazzolo, who used to work at PFF, calls them the Shouty Shows.
The Shouties.
I just think that's so funny.
They should give awards for the Shouties.
Right. He's like, on the Shouty Shows. I just think that's so perfect. I wanted to do a quick impression of someone. Can you tell me who you think I'm being?
I know. I already know what you're going to do, but go ahead and do it.
You don't know what I'm going to do.
You're going to be asleep. You're going to be like, I'm Danny on the Texans.
I have to ruin my thing.
Because, yeah, I know what you're doing.
I just want to do an impression.
Go ahead, do it.
You just let me do an impression?
Yeah, sure, go. Yeah.
My daughters.
Oh.
Go to Sitwell
Front. That's Grand Obama.
You're right. Very right. What about this? A little bit.
Grant De Niro.
Oh, you're right. You're right. What about this?
Danny on the Texans. Danny on Stroud. Danny on D'Amico Ryans. Danny on Tank Dell.
You have
Nico
to get
Collins.
Me to wake up.
Sorry. Oh, Grant, sorry, wake up, buddy.
Oh, I'm Danny. The Houston Texans. I'm sleeping on the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
I did.
You didn't see that one coming.
Dee-diddle-dee-diddle-dee. Was that a telegraph machine? Come on. Come on, we're having fun.
That receiver down.
Come on.
You didn't see that one coming, did you? I was doing the Obama. You didn't know I was doing my daughters.
I did not know you were doing that.
Danny. On the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
You were sleeping a little.
Mm-hmm.
The division champion in the AFC South is quarterbacked by C.J. Stroud. What else do you want? I got Stephon Diggs. I got Tank Dell. I got Nico Collins. I got Robert Woods if you're into old guys without a whole lot left.
I am. I really am.
If you're into running backs, I brought in Joe Mixon. I got Damian Pierce. If you're into tight ends, I got Dalton Schultz. I got Brevin Jordan. I drafted Cade Stover in the fourth round. What do you want? You want defensive players? I just went and got Danielle Hunter, who led the NFL in sacks last year. You like linebackers? I got some of those, too. I got a new Mike linebacker to run my defense. You like secondary players? I drafted Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock to start for me. I got Jalen Petrie going into year three at this point now as my nickelback. The Texans are ready, my guy. That is a 10-7, maybe an 11-6 team. That is a division champion, the Houston Texans, which brings us to the AFC West, the always competitive, very difficult to predict AFC West.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Look at you.
Will not win the division.
Okay.
And neither will the Raiders.
Okay.
And neither will the stupid Broncos. It's the Chiefs. I think the Raiders finish last. I think the Broncos are mildly frisky and win 7 games this year with this sort of Drew Brees 2.0, Bo Nix, check it down offense and Sean Payton and company. The Chargers go 8-9. Kansas City just is on cruise control the entire time.
Chiefs, no need to tell you any more than that. I think you get the story there. Sports Grumpy said, is it fair to say whoever plays more games between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson determines the AFC North division?
Oh, because of the injury factor?
Yeah, I mean, like if Burrow plays 11 and Jackson plays 17 Ravens, whereas vice versa, I think that's probably
true. It could come down to that. I mean, again, I have no idea what to expect from Burrow this year. I think he's going to be back to being Joe Burrow. And when he is, they're excellent. But we don't have a lot of precedent for coming back from this injury, this wrist thing that he's got. You would think it's all going to line up, right, with the weaponry that they've got and, you know, as good as Jamar Chase is. And I know Higgins wants to get paid as well. The best way to do that is go out and produce. So maybe it works. I don't know. There's enough question for me to give Baltimore the nod.
Crash on Twitter says, Danny, when you patent that Jets Kool-Aid, you should call it Dark Room. Going to be fun to hear Grant rob you for the next 18 weeks.
I get that
bit. But what am I robbing you of?
I don't know. So there have been a couple of things my son has been saying lately. He accused me of selling the other day, and I was like, "What? I don't have an e-commerce store. What are you talking about?
Do we need to go to Darius and Ryan?
We might need to.
What is
robbing or selling?
Wait, what's the first one?
Robbing, because I guess that guy, you're robbing me.
Is that the same thing?
I don't know.
Your kid says robbing?
No, you just said robbing to me. Like, right. That guy said you're going to rob me.
Okay, but now I'm confused. But your kid said selling.
Yeah, he said
they're related?
I don't know.
I said the robbing thing, and then you immediately told me the story about your kid.
Well, I was trying to say that makes two things recently that I don't know the meaning of.
Okay.
We've got a meaning that's been established for hundreds of years of the language, and now there's been some sort of like, let's make the thing that's always meant something mean something totally different.
Fellas, young people, what does selling mean? If you're selling something.
It just basically means as if that he's not going to be trying. You're selling.
Like fronting?
You're fronting, sure.
Is that
you're
fair?
Not trying?
Or you're not trying.
Oh.
So it's the opposite of a try hard.
Interesting.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Let's just say Anthony is tanking in his Madden NFL team, and so he's actually just going to be selling off the season.
Okay, that's literally selling off, though. That's a football term.
So no, I think a better example would be Kadarius Toney tonight. Dropped 5 passes. He's selling.
Bruh is selling.
Oh, yeah. So you're bad, basically.
Yeah. So my son yelled, and it was sort of at me, but it was kind of like to the character on Roblox, "Are you Amazon, bruh, because you're selling?" And he just sort of yelled that. And I was like, "Are you yelling at me? Is this someone you're playing with?"
Anthony just brought up another good kind of like alternative term for it, point shaving. It's kind of the same as point shaving.
Oh, God. Yeah,
selling and point shaving is kind of the same thing.
Wow.
Jeez.
Okay.
Okay.
But while we have Anthony, who's up on these terms, what is robbing me? Is that a term?
Robbing?
Yeah. This guy says I'm going to be robbing Danny all season.
Because my prediction is the Jets win the division and Grant's is
Buffalo. Is he saying because it's a
Buffalo.
Bad prediction I'm going to take money from you?
Oh,
that's what it seems like. Yeah.
It could be that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Or it's going to be you're going to be able to take advantage of me all season long.
I think robbing means like, I take something of yours that isn't mine. That isn't.
That's how we think of it normally.
Like you're walking down the street and I grab your wallet. That would be robbing.
Now, and you make it yours?
Yeah. Mm. Now it's my wallet.
You're not your wallet.
G&D on the Fan. Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. Let's go Commanders on this and we can go NFL abroad next. It is kickoff day on the Fan.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's football night in America, and will be soon enough anyway. Kickoff is about 5 hours away. The NFL is back. We're Grant and Danny. You're locked into the Fan. It's the best time of year. Sunday, the Commanders will be playing a real-life football game. Speaking of the NFL season returning, we've got a nice announcement we'll make as a show coming up in 15 minutes at 3:45 ahead of our double play. So make sure you're listening at that time. We're going blitzing at 4. Let's talk Jaden Daniels next hour as he gets ready to embark on his inaugural campaign in the National Football League. But right now, let's go biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. I want to start with the Commanders, and then we'll go broad in the NFL. So give me your biggest surprise for the Commanders this football season.
Everybody's got this a little bit wrong. The excitement over an improved secondary potentially coming via coaching. Joe Witt, Dan Quinn have a great pedigree in terms of being around great secondaries. Look at what's happened in Dallas last couple seasons. Interception leader has emerged from relative anonymity. Go back to Legion of Boom, etc. So people have pointed to somebody and they think, well, this guy might benefit a lot. That's not the right answer. Quan Martin will have an outstanding season. A little bit of nickel, a little bit of free safety, a little bit of everything in between. He'll cover. He's the guy that's going to thrive in this scheme because he's versatile. He's smart. We think of him improperly because he was so bad at the start of last year, really came on strong towards the end. He's going to start. He's going to play a lot. Quan Martin is going to be the pleasant surprise.
Send Ron Rivera his ring.
You really should, okay?
I picked him. I knew it, okay? I'm going to ring my Rivera-era draft pick home run bell.
They say when you got a garbage offense, okay, you should go cornerback, cornerback in consecutive rounds. It's what you do, okay? It's what we were missing.
Does Sam Cosmi get a Rivera-era draft pick home run bell?
Hit that bell.
He was drafted as a tackle.
It really was.
They told you he was a right tackle.
More so than anything else.
Now he's a really good guard.
That's what he is, okay?
I'm going to give it to him. When you don't eat very often,
yeah,
you don't turn food back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not cooked just the way that you like. You know what I mean?
Guard.
Speaking of the Rivera era and the draft pick home run bell.
Here we go.
Keep it close, boys and girls. Now, this is not a home run. A home run sounds like this. This is more of a single. Like this. Something like that.
Did it even ring?
It did.
It rang?
Got to listen really closely. My surprise.
Okay.
Jamin Davis comes on like gangbusters second half of the season. Finishes with seven sacks.
Seven.
Jamin Davis.
Seven.
Seven sacks.
Well, I thought we were doing surprise, not bold predictions.
The biggest surprise.
This is a surprise bold?
Yeah. The biggest surprise that you're going to have.
Seven.
Is that Jamin Davis becomes a decent situationally used pass rusher.
Seven sacks.
Seven sacks.
Seven.
I don't want to say it anymore. Seven sacks.
I'm giving you so many chances to lower that total.
Okay, six.
There it is.
There you go. Jamin Davis,
well,
pass rusher, second half of the season, he's making some plays. That'll be the biggest surprise this season for the Commanders. How about the biggest disappointment?
So, I like the dude. I feel bad saying this sort of thing. I just don't see it happening for Zach Ertz. I would love for Zach Ertz to be the same target he was a couple years ago, the guy that went for a million catches against Washington when they played, who's dynamic. I don't see him staying healthy. I don't see him having a lot left in the tank. I don't see him being a positive on the field. I think he's a great dude to have in the locker room. He's a translator for Cliff Kingsbury's offense and system. He's a good dude to have on your roster. I don't begrudge it because it wasn't like one of their huge marquee free agent signings that cost him a whole bunch of money against the salary cap in a number of years. You're not tied to it. You got replacements waiting in the wings. But I just don't see him having a huge impact this year. Would love to be wrong about that, by the way.
For me, biggest disappointment, I'll say the Commanders get swept by the Cowboys, which is not surprising. Like, that's not bold or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest disappointment this season, I think, is that when Dallas comes to Washington. That's a hard R there, Washington, on November 24th, and when the Cowboys are hosting the Commanders January 5th, I believe that the Commanders are going to get beaten both of those games handily by Dallas. Don't love it. Not happy about it. But that'll be the biggest disappointment of the season for your boy.
Yeah.
Let's go NFL abroad now. Give me your biggest surprise. Could be a player, could be a team.
The biggest surprise is that the Tennessee Titans are going to be frisky. They're going to be decent. They're not going to be good. They're not going to win the division. But people have written them off. They think Will Levis stinks. They think the Tennessee's an also-ran after a couple bad seasons where they were beset by injuries. Frankly, they didn't have very good personnel. They have whisper quietly upgraded an awful lot. They'll be in it until they kind of fall apart at the end of the season. And the Colts win that division, according to my predictions. But I got Tennessee improving by at least a couple of games.
I got three NFC North teams making the playoffs as a surprise. Packers, Bears, after the Lions win the division. I think Detroit, as I said, is like a 13-win team. I'm going to say Green Bay goes 11-6, and then Chicago goes 10-7 and gets in as a wild card. And I think three teams from the northbound make the postseason. I also think the Vikings, by the way, are going to be friskier than people think. They still got a lot of talent.
I think they're frisky.
Kevin O'Connell's a good coach. They're going to run the ball a lot better. They made an upgrade. They brought over Aaron Jones from Green Bay. Last year, it was like Alex Madison and the ghosts of running back passed for them. So I actually think, you know, they'll be a quarterback away, which is funny after Cousins walks, but they'll have, you know, a lot there offensively. But I just, they're not going to be able to keep up in the division. They're probably going to be like a 7-10 type team. But that's going to be a sneaky, really good division. Biggest disappointment.
I've already kind of covered it, and I'll give you a bonus one, too, just to make up for it. I think the Texans will be viewed as a disappointment. On paper, they're really, really good, but teams usually have to go through some stuff before they really jump up into the elite levels of football. I think they have a tough schedule as well. So they'll be fine. They'll be just outside of the playoffs with a winning record. So they'll be viewed as a disappointment because everyone's got huge expectations. And my little bonus, for the first time in his career, Mike Tomlin's team will finish with a losing record. That's my second little bonus
Look
disappointment.
At you. Yeah. Biggest disappointment, NFC, I'll say Rams disappoint. That could be a Stafford injury situation. I also just think the loss of Aaron Donald. Locker room, up front in general, just yep. a key cog for years and years is going to register and loom pretty large. They've got two Florida State defensive linemen that they drafted that they're counting on in Verse and Fisk. But I think they're going to take a step back after having a really good year last year. And I would throw one more out there from the AFC. I said it earlier, Jets missed the playoffs. I just don't think the Jets put it all together like everybody is assuming they will. They'll be my disappointment. All right, let's tag in the producer's room here. Let's go surprise. Darius, what do you got?
So my biggest surprise will be that the Green Bay Packers quarterback, Jordan Love, is going to finish top three in MVP voting by the end of the season.
Steamed
think he's due
up.
For a I know that. Huge, huge season out there in Green Bay.
Got the bag.
He did get the bag.
Put
he
up
secured
all
it.
The numbers last year. He's on his way, man. He's a really, really good player. I'm just happy for Green Bay, honestly.
Finally, worked out for
because,
him.
Because seriously, like the quarterbacks for them, it's been so they've been in the desert just looking for water. They had that Favre guy for like 20 years, won MVPs.
Hold on, Grant. I'm being told they went from one great quarterback to the next to the next.
That's really what I'm being
They're told. Just yep. passing it like it's a relay race. It's not fair. It's not. They need to miss and miss. And miss for 100 years to be like the rest of us.
Rhino, who was sweet enough to give us chocolate chip cookies today.
That was nice.
A lesson learned, it sounds like, at the Clary household.
It was. But my biggest surprise is that Will Levis will establish himself as an NFL franchise quarterback in his second season. I think Will Levis will actually carry the Tennessee Titans to around a 9-10 win season.
By God.
I think the Titans are a sleeper team this year. I think they've got a very good squad, and I think Will Levis could kind of sling the rock. I'm kind of buying that Tennessee Titans right now.
So he's going not only surprised, but like I was doing, bold as well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's out on a limb there.
That would be a surprise.
Can you even see the edge of that limb he's on?
You can't touch the main trunk of the tree where you're at.
Mayonnaise and coffee, Will Levis.
Mayo and coffee.
Biggest disappointment for you, Ryan, this football season?
My biggest disappointment for 2024, I was going to say the LA Rams because people are really buying into them, but I'm actually going to go the opposite way. I think it's the Green Bay Packers. I'm not buying the Packers' weapons this year. They had a relatively easier schedule this last season compared to what people thought they would. I think Jordan Love is good. I really believe in him. I think he's going to be the guy, but I'm not sold on the weapons surrounding them. They still have not done enough just yet, so I think they're going to be the most disappointing team in 2024.
They got all those young receivers that have another year experience. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, all kind of growing with Love. They don't have a true number one, to be clear. I'm with you there. Darius, biggest disappointment?
We got little sprinkles of how good and effective he could be last year, but of course he got injured and the season ended a little early. There's big expectations for Anthony Richardson this year. I got a bad feeling that's not going to happen. I think our biggest disappointment is Anthony Richardson is not going to be the guy this year.
So he got hurt last year after, I think, four games.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the year ends and it looks like the Colts need a quarterback.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're in for the Colts are going to be back in the quarterback train again.
Oh,
if that's the case, then Chris Ballard will be a GM somewhere else probably.
He'll be answering phone calls on draft day from someone else.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We got a nice show announcement to pass along. And it's not just that we had delicious chocolate chip cookies from our guy Ryan today. There's another, frankly, if I could say this, with all due respect to the cookies, which were great.
Cookies were the big deal.
Equally as important announcement. It's mm-hmm. pretty big.
Yep.
We'll also hit you double play next on G&D. Our double play will come your way in just a moment on Grant and Danny. The Beltway Blitz is sub 15 minutes away. We are taking you up to 6:10. Excited about our 5 o'clock segment tonight when we're talking to the documentary maker of what is a really cool series that dropped on Amazon. They followed around LSU's NIL collective decisions, the players that they brought in, some of the athletes at the program, including Jaden Daniels, Livy Dunn. Want to ask him all about that when he joins us at 5 tonight, coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes on The Fan. But Danny, we do have an announcement to make.
We do indeed. I'm excited about this. I think this is one of those, there's a little bit of familiarity. There's also something that's a little bit sexy, a little bit new, a little bit cool.
Yeah, so I'll say there's two announcements. One is bigger than the other, because one is kind of a known commodity.
Mm-hmm.
But we are very, very happy to inform you guys that on Mondays at 5 p.m., Jay Gruden will be back.
We're doing it
on
again.
The Grant and Danny radio program.
So fun. It's always entertaining, informative, great opinions. He watches every game. He is a really, really good guest.
Storyteller?
Yep.
Comedic genius? Words like this get thrown around occasionally. Ball knower? Guy who called some plays in his day? And shtick aside, what I really like about Jay is he calls it like he sees it. There are so many people in this business who coached or played who are petrified of giving opinions. And Jay Gruden is not that guy. Jay Gruden is whatever the opposite of that is. He is going to tell you what he sees. He's going to tell you what he thinks. He is both entertaining and insightful. To me, the perfect radio guest. And there's nobody we'd rather break games down with, go around the league with, the day after Sunday football than Jay right here on G&D.
That is such a good point, by the way, about being willing to say the thing. Good, bad, or indifferent, right? I mean, that's what you want. His brother, to me, famously, when he was doing Monday Night Football, was, this is probably the best player this league has ever seen, man. And it's like, no, it's not. It's okay. It's the backup running back. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to say, like, this, like he's hurting this team, or this is good, this is bad. But to your point, like, he had this, getting in the league is really hard, it's really hard up here, type level of analysis. And it's like, I can appreciate that, but also within that, we could have maybe some variance, but Jay throws the fastballs.
He does not pull punches. Yeah. He calls guys out. He's like, oh, he's a bad blocker. He doesn't catch enough passes, whatever it is. And most of the time, the guys he's talking about aren't here soon thereafter and knows what he's talking about.
Oh, man.
But this is something we're very, very excited about. This is going to be new
mm-hmm.
to the Grant and Danny radio program in the 2024 football season.
That's a good drum roll.
Right. We've thought about doing this in the past, but it wasn't going to work out because he wasn't actually a member of the team yet.
Right, we couldn't do it.
Tuesdays at 5 p.m., running back Austin Eckler.
Here we go.
Will be a staple.
Yeah.
On G&D. We've had him on a couple times since he was acquired.
Just a star.
Blew us away the first time. We had him on just this past week. One of his people hit us up and said, hey, Austin's launching an app for dozens of football players to try to connect them with fans. Would you guys mind talking to him? And we said, absolutely. And he's one of the most unique, sharpest, just thoughtful players in any sport that I've ever been around. I really, really enjoy talking to him. And he's perfect for our show. We are a nuts and bolts, analytical, info-driven show more than we are wacky guys. And I just think Austin Eckler is a really intuitive and cerebral, like, ball thinker. So I'm fired up. He also loves fantasy football and mm-hmm. talking about fantasy football. So we're going to have a lot of fun with him, I think.
Yeah, he is sharp, funny, entertaining. You said thoughtful already, but I want to double down on that. Like, in his spare time, when your feet are up, my feet is up, watching television, he's starting a company. You know what I mean? Like, when you're relaxing, he's like, you know, I should probably get a small business loan and talk to some venture capitalists and found this thing that helps people. Like, this is a different cat, and I mean that in the best possible way. From the depths of obscurity to star in this league with something left to offer here on a new team, and he's wildly engaging and awesome. Like, that's as good a guest as you can pull.
I recently heard him telling someone that a coach told him that he's the most unique man in football, like the most unique person
I buy that.
In the NFL. And not only does that make sense, but he said he thinks the reason for that is he never grew up thinking about or planning on playing in the NFL. Sure, it was always as a football player something that he thought would be cool, but this was a tiny guy, undersized at every single level he ever played at, who played non-Division I football at a school nobody's ever heard of and wasn't expected to get any look in the National Football League. So for him, he had other ventures, other ideas. He was learning to do other things, and it just so happens, more so that probably than a lot of us, like, his job is not who he is. It's just kind of what he does. He takes that to the nth degree, but man, do I really, really like Eckler. I'm rooting for him this year like everybody else is, and I do believe, I could say this confidently, he is going to lead the Grant and Danny radio program and our regulars in receptions in the NFL this season. I think if you tally up, like, my catches, Danny's catches, Darius's catches.
Yeah, that's mildly bold.
Even Ryan's catches. I think Eckler will catch more passes than us this year.
Mm-hmm.
But we are the crazy people who think he's got a lot of tread on the tire. He's going to help this team a lot. And if he's a baller, if he goes out and J.D. McKissick's this thing, we're going to have a lot of fun on Tuesdays at 5 p.m.
Like, to me, that's the minimum expectation. Oh, third down back helps him in the passing game. I think there is a lot left here, and I think everybody's sleeping on it. And I think because you've got Brian Robinson to tote the rock and take a lot of the thumps, a lot of the hits, and be downhill, I think he's fine with that, talking about Eckler, right? Where I don't have to do 250 carries and then another 75, 80 receptions. You could tone that down a little bit, still get your 1,000 total yards, be a goal line option, be excellent in the pass game, early down work. Not all the time, but sometimes. I think he's going to help them a lot. I think this is their best offensive acquisition, non-Jaden Daniels division.
But we're happy about this, and we think it's going to be great for the show and really good for you guys as consumers of our content and listeners. So thank you to Crisp, our program director.
Yeah.
And all thanks, the folks audience behind the scenes that made it work out. Jay Gruden Mondays at 5. Austin Eckler Tuesdays at 5. And then, Darius, did you have an update on I know Wednesday they were talking about Tom Brady at 5. Thursday, we were saying maybe Peyton Manning at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday, I think it was Roger Goodell at 5.
Still working on contract details,
okay.
But we should have more on that by tomorrow, maybe.
But that's the idea would be that Brady would be at 5 on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I was saying Peyton Manning. You were hoping for somebody else.
Well, like, we were looking for Rodgers live during the season.
But
like
he said, I'm going to be too busy giving hugs to Pat McAfee.
That was kind of the thought there. Like, we wanted to see if we could get that going.
Yeah.
There have been a couple contract hiccups there for some of those guys.
Where were we at on the Goodell contract?
Well, he was like, you guys have to pay me out of your pocket. We were like, fine, how much? He gave the number. Like, we wrote down a number down a napkin. We exchanged that. And I don't want to get the nuts and bolts about it, but it was like, we were a little bit south of his number.
I thought it was weird, too, that we had to ask him about his recliner for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
He like wanted and how he gives people hugs.
Like, one time per interview, the recliner has to come up. It's like, okay.
Jay Gruden, Mondays at 5. Austin Eckler, Tuesdays at 5 with your pals. G&D. Football season has arrived. Our Beltway Blitz is next. We're getting into Jaden Daniels at 4:25 right here on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.